Thank you, Father Ted, for the warm welcome. Though, as you have noted, the welcome is not as warm to this morning as yesterday. I was visiting with some who were coming in and said, some of them recognized me for having been here 5 years ago, and some did not, and asked me, "Who are you?" So I guess I need to reintroduce myself. I am Father Angel D. from Sorsogon, Diocese of Sorsogon in the Philippines. And presently, I am south of Dodge, southwest, before you reach Liberal, the three small towns there, Fowler, Plains, and Mead. And some said, "How come that you are here? Did you leave your parishes to be here?" I said, "By this time you should realize that I can do a bilocation. I am here as well as there." But honestly, a classmate of mine who is a priest is visiting by, and conveniently I requested him to take care of the parishes for the weekends, 2 weekends, in which I would take the opportunity to do mission talks for my diocese of origin, the Diocese of Sorsogon in the Philippines. 11 years ago, that was 1997, Bishop Islarman, then the Bishop of Dodge City, realizing that in the short run, there would be a dearth and a scarcity of priests in the Diocese of Dodge City, as many of the priests were getting older, elderly, and there were few young men coming up to study for the priesthood. So he made an emergency appeal to the dioceses in the Philippines if the bishops there would help the Diocese of Dodge City by sending some of their priests here to help out while the diocese is trying to encourage young men to come up for the priesthood. And one of the dioceses that responded, or some that responded to the appeal of Bishop Islarman, was the Diocese of Buwak, Marindoki, in the Philippines. And from then, there were 4 priests from that diocese who have served here. Father Orestes, who served at Garden City. Father Nick, who served at Kinsley recently. And at present, there are 2 other Filipino priests from the Diocese of Buwak who are right now serving here. Father Bernard at Larned, and Father Rene at La Crosse, Temkin, and Leventhal. And my bishop, excuse me, asked me to come. I have served the parishes at Garden City 5 years at Great Bend at St. Rose. I was here last year with Father Ted, and the past 4 years and counting, I am at Plains, Mead, and Fowler. So between us, or among us Filipinos, at one time we were helping out in 10 parishes in the United States because of this mission of cooperation. So yearly, we gave the people of that city the idea of why these priests are working in the diocese of that city. We are working here on the invitation of the bishop on a contract which stipulates that the diocese that send priests here will kindly train their priests to be able to serve in a different setting that is multicultural and vastly different from their own diocese of origin. To be able to speak in English as well as in Spanish, and to be able to withstand the rigors of driving long distances and to cope with loneliness in lonely and far off posts of assignments. And in turn, the diocese of that city will release $500 a month for its priest who helps here in favor of the seminary of the diocese of origin, so that somehow the absence of that priest will be compensated by the training of other seminarians who would become priests later. So this is the meat of the contract, so to say. Therefore, because of my absence from my diocese of origin, Sorsogon, the tip of the big island Luzon, where the capital city of Manila is located, my diocese receives $6,000 a year to help train the seminarians. To date, we have more than 20 priests outside of our diocese helping out in the United States as well as in the territory of Guam and Saipan. We are a diocese of 26 parishes with more than 100 priests. That is why we can give some access to other dioceses in need. We have more than 50, around 60 high school seminarians. We have 30 college seminarians. We have 15 theologians. And on the wings, there are 4 seminarians who are getting ordained to the priesthood this coming year. So we are kind of blessed with vocations. In fact, if it were not only for the expense by which the parents are the ones paying in the seminary for the training of their children, perhaps more would come up. So this little amount of 6,000 a year that comes from part of your weekly offerings, from your donations to your parish. Part of that, the 10% that goes to the diocese, is allocated from that 10%. Part of that is allocated to help in the universal mission of the church. And Sorsogon, my diocese, is a beneficiary in part of it. So I would like to thank you for this generosity that you have for the Catholic Church, your parish, and the diocese, by which, even if you may not have known it, you were contributing a little part of your offering to that diocese far away. And so today we will not have any second collection, but I would encourage you to be generous to the Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe or any parish where you belong to, because part of that is spent, the 10% that the parish gives to the diocese is spent for the work of the diocese right here, as well as to help the missionary work in other places of the world, which realizes Isaiah's dream, advising us to act justly, to love tenderly, and to serve the neighbor, and to walk humbly with our God. Because God's love is universal. He wants all people of every race, of every tongue, of every culture, of every territory to be one, praising Him, as Isaiah says in the first reading, "My temple will be a house of prayer for all peoples." And so, we are encouraged by Paul to burn with that missionary zeal, so that the Jewish people or any people would realize, because of our righteousness before God and before others, to realize that they too belong to the same big tent where we all worship God in one name. Jesus, in the gospel reading today, was kind of even forced by the plea of a woman who would not be put back because of indifference. Jesus was so tired. He was rebuffed by his own people of Nazareth. He was depressed because John the Baptist, his cousin, was beheaded. And people seemed not to heed the word of God. And here comes this importunate woman. "Help me, help me. My daughter is ill. She is dying." And we cannot blame her, because a woman whose child's life is in danger will take any opportunity to help her daughter. And Jesus said, ignored her, and later said, it is not right to give the food of the children to dogs. A kind of pejorative reference to her people as not worthy of his ministry. But the woman said, you must have part of that, part of that compassion, part of that goodness, not only for the Jewish people, but also for us. And Jesus was moved. Jesus cured the daughter because of her faith. So we are called then to continue to be faithful even in times of stress, in times of illness, in times of economic downturn, in times when our relationships turn sour. And we will be rewarded as we walk gently with our God, humbly with our God. We will be rewarded that our prayers would be answered and our wish for a kindly, gentle world where people would embrace each other disregarding color, status, as well as culture, coming together as brothers and sisters under one God. This we aim for. This we hope for. This we pray for.